Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ce.
Well, dear listeners, my name is Jürgen Reis. I'm one of your hosts here at Aviation Quest CC. And today's episode is a very special one for our podcast, because for the first time, we welcome a female airline pilot to the show. It's Captain Josefine Schumann, well, interviewed by my second host here, A320 First Officer Stefan Lorenz. Yeah, it's really fantastic. Thank you, Stefan.
Hello, Jürgen. Nice to hear you again. Yeah, it was a great interview, wasn't it? Josefine, just very briefly, so you know what it's all about, is a captain within the Lufthansa Group, and she's had an amazing career, a very varied career that's very unusual. You will hear that. So she's done all kinds of things in aviation, but she's had a full life in aviation, and we thought she'd be an amazing guest. And obviously, like you said, Jürgen, our first female guest, which makes us very happy, something we wanted to have for quite some time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's, yeah, it is, depending of the statistics, statistics are statistics, it's whether people count all licensed pilots or active airline pilots only. But as it looks by now, and realistically in May 2026, we are talking of roughly globally female airline pilots on around only 5-6% of the profession. And in Europe, yeah, some data sets, they even say a little less, or they range from 4-7%. So as I said, it's always statistics are statistics. But yeah, and I mean, once for sure, female captains are an even smaller subgroup, logically, within that already small percentage. I think this also tells something about the uniqueness of this opportunity that your network offered our podcast, Stefan.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, she's not just, she's someone who's worked in aviation for her entire life, and she's done all kinds of things which are super interesting, but it also makes her extremely competent, so because she knows the operation from every single angle you can come from. You know, you will hear she used to manually calculate the mass and balance for long haul airliners and all that stuff. So really cool to have her. And like you said, Jürgen, unfortunately, still not very common to have a person like her. But we do hope that in the future, we will be able to welcome more female guests.
Well, and I hope, Stefan, USFS clips, so to say, YouTube, almost professional, prepared a very special podcast video for her today. I mean, you normally, we are certainly an audio cast, but we are running, thanks to Stefan, also a YouTube channel. It's Aviation-Quest Podcast. And there, Stefan is usually putting us into a cockpit of a real-world flight, sometimes also, yeah, showing a real-world flight.
Yes, yeah, so that you have something to look at while still listening to us. So, because it's Josefine is from Lufthansa, I decided to do a Lufthansa flight, but I wanted to do something a little bit special. So I grabbed, once again, my favorite aircraft, the MD-11, and we're doing a Lufthansa cargo flight today from London Stansted to Frankfurt with the beautiful MD-11F.
Wow, sounds amazing. Yeah, and I mean, Stefan, this time, I mean, usually, as I pointed it out in our housekeeping episode 28, I am the interviewer. But this time, Stefan offered us this great interview. And I just say, from the check-in desk in Munich to the left seat of the Airbus A320, today's guest is Captain Josephine Schumann, interviewed by Stefan. And I'd say, without any further ado, here we go.
Okay, welcome everybody again. And with me here today is Captain Josephine Schumann. Josephine, it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for taking time out. We just talked, you are actually in a crew hotel right now in between flights. So welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Stefan.
Yes, it's great to have you here. You are actually the first woman that we record on our podcast. It's a very male-dominated industry. I do want to go into this topic with you in a minute. But before we get started, so you are obviously a captain within a very large airline group, let's put it this way. But how did your journey start? Take us all the way back. Becoming a pilot or being part of the aviation industry, was this something that started for you when you were a little kid? Or was there a specific moment later on in life? So tell us, how did this start for you, this long journey that we're going to discuss today?
All right. I hope you're prepared for this story. I actually never knew what I wanted to become. I was not really good at school, and I had a great life, so, as a teenager, but a little bit without plans, to be honest. So after school, first I went to London for a couple of years to improve my English, went to college there, and when I returned to Munich, which is my hometown, I joined with 22 years Lufthansa, still the old airport, Munich Riem, at the check-in desk. So this was my first step into aviation. And I quite enjoyed, you know, working for Lufthansa at that time. Everybody was super proud to have the yellow ID. After half a year, you could travel around the world for a little money on staff tickets. And, well, thereafter I moved on to the ticket counter for a couple of years. And again, I moved on to a department called operations. I stood there for 5 years. And, well, people who don't know what operations means, that's actually our department divided in two workspaces. So you work either in the office where you do the calculation and load planning for the aircraft, so the aircraft has a proper center of gravity on takeoff, which is obviously not a big deal for small aircraft like 737s or Airbus 320. But when it comes to a wide body, there was quite a job that time, as we did mainly load it by hand. And yeah, the other part, you were outside on the ramp or the apron, proper name, and were you just watching the correct loading, taking care the fuelers were coming, and yeah, organizing the whole things around the flight crews.
If I
yes, you still want to listen to the long story I have to tell.
Let me just stop you there. So to go from check-in and ticket counter to operations, I suppose you had to do like a training course and stuff to learn everything about center of gravity. I don't know. You said maybe you did some fuel calculations and all that stuff. Was this something you applied to, or was it just offered to you? How did that work out, this step? Because that to me seems quite a big step in terms of being involved in the operation, right?
Yeah, you see, I started 1985 working for Lufthansa. And that time, Lufthansa had a huge training center in the middle of nowhere, close to Darmstadt. And you could apply for the departments you wanted to work for, and then they were sending you off for training. And even just for checking the training, took 4 weeks.
Okay.
For operations, my training took 11 weeks. Can you imagine? With every Friday, a big test. It was really a fantastic, how shall I say? Yeah, you were well prepared, you know. They did really take good care for training their staff.
Well, that's very good, very good. And so you started off in the office doing all the preparation for the flight in terms of, you know, how to load the aircraft and stuff. And like you said, it was all done by hand, which is pretty amazing. Thinking today, like you and I, we both work in the cockpit with iPads and there's literally no piece of paper. And then you mentioned the ramp as well. Was this just part of the job or was this something you really wanted to do?
No, it was part of the job. There were always two people working on one aircraft, one inside and one outside. And we had a walkie-talkie and communicating that the things you were planning on the desk, your colleague was taking care of at the aircraft, doing the loading accordingly to your calculation.
Oh, that's very cool. So this was Munich Airport, is that correct?
That was Munich Airport.
Yes. So, yeah. And at that time, did Lufthansa already have 747s at Munich? This is a bit before my time.
As I remember, Turin, there was a big aircraft, a DC-10 coming, going daily to New York.
Ah, yeah.
Which was great because it had a completely different loading system. And that was very interesting. But we took care of around 40 different carriers. So we had the Thai jumbo jet coming. We had Kuwait Airways. So we had all kind of different companies were coming. We took care of.
Oh, that.
And every load looked different. It was quite good, actually.
And I guess every company has its own procedures and its own policies. So that must have.
Yeah. And can you imagine that time when you went as a girl in the skirt to Kuwait Airways? You were not really welcome.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's a topic I want to talk to you about anyway later on, about how things are today and how they might have been in the past. Okay, so how long did you do this? How long were you working on preparing flights and helping to get them pushed and out of the airport?
That was around about 5 years. And then now it comes.
Yeah.
So one colleague in the office, he did a lot of parachuting. He was in a parachuting club. And then he convinced me also to do parachuting with him. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll give it a try. Then he turned up with an old orangey military jumpsuit. And I went with him outside of Munich doing a tandem jump, which was apparently the first and last jump I did.
Okay.
And not because it scared me, but shortly afterwards, one of my best girlfriends, who was also working with me in operations, fell madly in love with a co-pilot of Lufthansa at that time. And she said, oh, come on, let's go and do a private license, you know, that cool, and maybe to impress the guy. And I said, okay, then I'm not continuing with my parachuting ideas. And I sold my very beloved wooden Bavarian wardrobe to have some money and headed off to Prescott, Arizona at the end by myself, because she decided not to do it. And I said, okay, I got the holiday, let's go.
Okay. How old were you at that time?
That was 92, so I was 29.
29, okay. Nice.
Already quite old, yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, just starting the flying career, you know,
yeah.
In terms.
Yeah. So you went to the US on your own, even though the plan was to go with your friend. So at that time, do you think at that time, it was just an impulse to think, well, I've sort of prepared myself for doing this, so let's just go for it? Or do you think in the back of your head, you already thought, you know what, being a pilot would actually be really cool?
No, I didn't. I don't know. No, I don't. Didn't think that. I don't know. I saw it as a kind of, I guess, challenge to do something a little crazy and have some fun.
Okay, interesting.
And I just went there, and I thought, let's see what's happening. And I found a really beautiful, nice, tiny flight school in Prescott. On the other side, there were the poshy and brittle university flight school. Of course, I could not afford going there. I don't know even if they would have taken me as a foreigner. No ideas. But nevertheless, I found this beautiful little flight school. And also on top, I found a very nice American couple, Joyce and Douglas, where I could stay for 4 weeks. And after 4 weeks, really proudly, I held my private license in my hand.
Wow, that's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, and now I have to come back, actually, to my orangey military jumpsuit.
Okay.
Which I was taking with me. And all my cross countries I did with this orangey jumpsuit, plus a Top Gun leather jacket, because, you know, there was a time, really, Top Gun was just the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was flying around looking absolutely ridiculous. To be honest. they gave me the nickname Cessna Test Pilot. You know, me in my super outfit on the Cessna 172, I looked really like an idiot, I guess, but I felt great.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But it felt amazing. That's the most important thing.
I surely did, yeah.
Okay, so you got your PPL in the US, so I guess an FAA PPL. What happens next?
What happened next? Well, staying at the Joyce and Douglas, Joyce was also a private pilot. She started really late with 55, getting her license. She owned a nice, what was it? It was a multi-engine aircraft. Yeah, I even was allowed to fly with her on this one. And I would like to mention this because it made really a difference to me also. She was a member of the 99s. Which is a female pilot organization founded 1929 with Emilia Earhart as the first president 1931. And the name comes from the 99 chapter member.
Okay. Very
so I became part of this really, I think, fantastic organization. Still exists, of course. I guess it's still the biggest female pilot organization worldwide. We have even members from India, Saudi Arabia, Nepal, worldwide. And when I was back in Germany, I also refounded the German section because it was existing, I think, in the 60s, but then it kind of faded away. And then I became first governor in Germany of the new, recreated, founded 99.
Very good. That's very great. That's great. I never knew this about you.
Really? Now I'm just a paying member. I must admit I'm not really active anymore in the group, which is a shame. But from time to time we meet on, big occasions.
Okay, that's good. So you go back to Germany. You obviously become an active member in the 99s, and then what happens? And did you go back to Lufthansa when you got back to your old job, or what did you do?
No, in the meanwhile, actually, I became a stewardess, as it was called that time. So let's say flight attendant.
Yeah. Yeah?
And I was becoming a flight attendant, moved to Frankfurt because Munich had so little flight that time, long haul, and I just wanted to see the whole world. And then I moved to Frankfurt, and I still did not think of becoming a commercial pilot. What I did, I went every year on my big holiday to Munich, waitressing at the famous Munich Oktoberfest. And afterwards, I took the money, went back to Prescott, flying some hours, spending my hard earned money there. And that's what I did for years. And I was happy. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So what aircraft did you fly as a cabin crew?
I was flying on the beautiful jumbo jet on the Airbus 340, 200, 300, or the first versions coming 200 at that time, and Airbus 300, 600.
Oh, okay. Wow. Airbus A300. That's a real classic aircraft then, isn't it?
I loved working on this aircraft. It had three galleys. It was fantastic. Nice exotic destinations. Just beautiful.
Very nice. Very nice. So interesting. So you were a cabin crew, but you're also a pilot. You spend all your money on flying. But for whatever reason, you still don't think this could be a career. Is this, do you think, because of the way it was back then for women, or was this just a mindset?
I think this was my mindset. I believed I never would be able to do something like that, you know. But being now as a cabin member much closer to the cockpit, and it had a kind of fascination, especially at night, you know, the passengers were sleeping, you sat down with the guys in front, it was the atmosphere. It's hard to describe. I mean, you know it as you do it yourself.
Yes, yes.
It was really fascinating. And then sometimes going back to the cabin, bright lights, breakfast service was kind of shock. But nevertheless, I loved being a flight attendant, a part of this.
Yeah. I mean, but sorry, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But then it really, the change happened on a layover in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. There was a female co-pilot. She's still a good friend of mine. And we were lying there at the beach. And we started talking and get to know each other. And she said, what are you doing there with this flying? This is, you know, BS. Why don't you become a real pilot? And I said, you got to be kidding. I'm already 35. I have no money, you know. And she said, no. She was one of the few Lufthansa pilots not coming from Lufthansa school, you know, coming from a private school,
yeah,
which is very rare because Lufthansa usually only hires their people from their own school.
Yeah.
So she said, no, you have to go to my flight school and talk to Mr. Famous, Mr. Zeltner. And I said, okay, I have nothing to lose. So after one flight, I was coming from Hong Kong. I took my car, drove 250 kilometers to S. Mülheim. This was where the flight school was, the famous FFL. And I sat down with this Swiss guy and told him, I don't know, something. And then he looked at me and he said only one sentence. And he said, well, he said, you want to sit as a grandmother on a bench and cry, or you want to become a pilot? And it took me like 2 seconds and I said, okay, then I rather become a pilot.
Yes.
Then I signed the papers, went home, called my parents and said, you know, I'm going to become a pilot now. And they said, are you crazy? 16 years Lufthansa, you cannot give up the career. You have a safe job, you know, you have to get a big credit. And so nobody was really happy with my idea. But I was, in this moment, so convinced this is the right thing to do now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what I did.
Very good. So you went through flight training and I guess you finished with a CPL, right? And then what? How did it go from there? What was it like back in those days as a woman to find a job with an airline?
I was actually quite lucky because, first of all, I continued flying full time as a flight attendant, and it's flight school on the side.
Okay.
And that was quite fine. I was the only one working. So I pinned my schedule on flight school, and on my days off, I was flying. On the other days, the rest of my class were flying. So I finished at the same time together with them, which was really smart, both of them. And then I had to repeat an NDB approach in Dortmund. And the Czech at that time was flying for Augsburg Airways. And then he said, do you have already a job? And I said, no. And he said, you can go to the first floor in Dortmund to this tiny executive company and speak to the guy I know. And I'll be also working soon for this company. So I went up, and 10 minutes later, I had already the first job on a jet.
Oh, really?
On a Citation XL.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Earning little money, but they paid my type rating. So that was awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so you start on the Citation out of Dortmund, I guess, right?
Out of Dortmund,
yes.
Yeah.
And what was that job like? I guess flying a Citation is corporate flying. It's quite different to the airlines, right?
Yeah, and for a start, the second Citation XL in Germany. There were no supervisors. There were no one who could fly supervision with you. So basically, I had an empty schedule, and I just worked in the office, writing on some books, doing some emergency trainings, also with other executive companies. And flying-wise, it was getting me nowhere.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I have to move on as fast as possible because I wanted to go back to an airline, obviously.
Yeah.
For Lufthansa, I was much too old, because that time I was already 38, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started applying, of course, for all airlines, but that was a very bad time in aviation for pilots. Sorry. Nevertheless, I got very lucky and I got my first officer job with Air Berlin.
Okay. What air?
My first base was the famous Paderborn.
Paderborn. Was that 737?
That was 737. Oh. I started on the classic. I was flying 400, 300, and also new generation 737,
700, and 800. Nice. In Paderborn. That sounds amazing, though.
Yeah. But 3 years later, luckily, Munich station opened also. And then I could go back to Munich, and I thought, wow, I made it. 737 back in Munich. I was the most happiest girl you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And then, of course, one day, Air Berlin closed down, huh?
Yes, then the bitter day came, we closed down, and again, I was very lucky and moved right on to Eurowings.
Yes, where you still are today and where we are flying together, luckily, after all.
Absolutely, yeah, but not often enough, I'd say.
No, well, it's a big company, so yes. So that's an incredible journey, especially the fact that, you know, we have a lot of people here on the podcast that are pilots and they keep telling us, yeah, I wanted to do this since I was a little child and blah, blah, blah. So your journey is very different. So I really want to, you know, since you are the first female guest on our podcast, I really want to get down to this a little bit. Jürgen and I, before we invited you, especially Jürgen, he's much better at research than I am. He looked into some of the figures in terms of female representation in the aviation industry. And it's still not great. It's about 5% of pilots are female, about 2 to 3% are captains. So the numbers are still very low. I don't know how you perceive this today. You might want to talk about this. I feel today nobody really cares whether a pilot is male or female. You are judged by whether you are a good pilot or a bad pilot. But when you started off, was it different? And do you see a difference between back then and today for female pilots?
I see quite a huge difference, I think, because when I started, especially with Eberlin, it was a brand new company at that time. There were a lot of military captains joining us, and most of them, they were really great guys. But also there were a bunch of guys that were letting you know, if God had wanted women to fly, then the sky would be pink and not blue. And where you sit, they used to lie my head and, you know, stuff like this. You had to listen.
Yes.
And I plenty of times said, you know, the German jawohl answering in the military respond.
Yes.
Of course, you knew you were entering a male-dominated area. I guess my advantage that time already was that I was already not a youngster anymore, so I was not really scared of the guys. The CRM was for sure different than nowadays.
Okay.
And this is the big advantage. And I think in general speaking, in Germany, flying is very good because the hierarchy also is quite flat. And yeah, nevertheless, I think what changed much more actually are the passengers. I remember with the doors open when passengers were entering the aircraft and they saw a female, or especially, you know, looking at me, and then they were saying, oh, hopefully your colleague is flying.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and if there were two females, rare enough, you really saw they were scared.
Okay.
Plenty of times you saw, oh, my God, you know. And this has changed completely now. It's really fantastic. And especially females now, they say, oh, great, today a woman is flying. And this has changed so much. And it's great.
Yeah.
This is the biggest change I can see,
oh,
you know, among the passengers.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's interesting. Very interesting. So if I may take you back briefly, when and where did you do your upgrade from first officer to captain? I suppose it was Eberlin?
No, I never took my chance in Eberlin, because to do the upgrade in Eberlin, I had to go to Berlin. And with no chance ever in my rest of my flying life to return to Munich.
I see.
So for me, it was not an option, because that time I already had a boyfriend in Mallorca and I was commuting there, and I thought a third town I cannot handle. You know? So I stood quite long as best officer in Munich. And then as soon as we joined Eurowings, I went for the fast track command. And luckily, very soon I was based in Mallorca.
Ah, very good. Okay. So do you think there's a big difference, especially as a female pilot, between being a captain and a first officer? Or do you think, especially these days, it doesn't matter anymore because most captains really don't mind who's sitting next to them as long as they can fly the plane?
I think nowadays it doesn't matter anymore.
Mm.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. For the first officer's view, I don't know. Oh, you must know better than majority of guys how comfortable they feel with girls on the, or women on the left-hand side. I don't know. I think it's always a personal thing, no?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think, generally speaking, most first officers I know, they really don't mind. It's all about, you know, are they nice? Do they follow procedures? All that stuff. That what you would expect. I mean, one aspect, actually, I think that often gets forgotten. You know, there's always this debate that women earn less than men. I think aviation, pretty much from the get-go,
never had that discussion because we get paid by experience, by rank, by flying hours. And the system really doesn't care whether you're male or female. That's just what you get paid by. I guess it's always been like this, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember. I wouldn't be able to remember or imagine even a system where female pilots would get less money than male, because it's all based on flying hours, right? Your salary.
As far as I know, you're absolutely correct. And I think our business should be a good example for all the other businesses.
Hmm? Yes, I agree. Because we're only paid by basically experience, knowledge, and how much we contribute to the whole thing, you know.
Exactly. Just being a human doing the job as good as we can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so now that we've reached your life today, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the future. So people that are good at maths will know that you are not that far away from retirement, I guess. So what are your plans? Do you think
you mean like me?
Do you think once, I don't know how long you're planning to fly and how long you want to keep flying, but once the day comes when you have your last flight, do you think you're going to stay in touch with aviation, or do you just want to completely switch off? Or how do you look into the future right now?
Well, roughly, I got 2.5 years to go, and then I will reach my 65, and then it will be over if I want or not. That's a legal requirement up to now. And it's a little pity because we are now getting the 737s again. I would not mind to go back on the aircraft, but surely they will not train me for that. It would be a waste of money, obviously.
Yeah.
I guess I will, well, in my heart, I will stay in aviation, but for sure, I will not go to a small airport and fly around in a Cessna on the weekend. I think 45 years in aviation will be fine for me. And I'll be looking for new goals.
Okay, so you're not done yet. You still want to challenge yourself again.
Maybe I get a little back in the work much more together with the 99s, encourage young girls to come to our aviation world. Would be nice if the community grows also a little bigger. I don't know. All the colleagues I know, they have also children, and you can also have a family as a female pilot. So we should mention this.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. It's a great job, you know. Yeah, cannot think of anything better right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's an amazing job. It obviously comes with a lot of baggage. It infringes a lot on your private life. But I do think the positives outweigh the negatives by far, in my opinion. Yeah.
It's the office with the best view you can have.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Even if you watch the scary thunderstorm in front of you, it's still kind of amazing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. Josefine, we've reached the end of the time you've given us. We've actually already gone slightly over, so apologies for that. Before I let you go, any final words, anything? Is there anything you want to say maybe to young women or even young guys that are listening, that are interested in becoming pilots? Anything you want to say to them, or any final words from your side?
First of all, thank you for inviting me today. I was a little excited. It was the first podcast I ever did.
Oh, very good.
I feel probably terribly listening to it afterwards. Yes, there's one thing I want to tell the young people out there. You know, it doesn't matter if you are having an idea as a child, or if something comes up to your mind later and you think, oh, I'm too old to do this. For plenty of things, you're never too old, you know. And also you have to be a little brave in your life and risk a little bit in your life if you want to do something out of the ordinary or break out and try something new. You know, just go for it. Mm. And if it works out, even better. If not, the experience still will be super, I guess. And I didn't know if it works out. I just, for me, I thought I do the theoretical part. If I pass it, okay, then might be I'm able to become a pilot. If not, I would have stayed a flight attendant, also very happy. But at least I tried. And the worst is if you never try, you know, so just go for it.
Perfect. That's a great way to finish. Josefine, thank you so much for your time. As you know, I always really enjoy flying with you. I look forward to our next flight, whenever that may be. Yeah, I wish you a good flight today, Josefine. Stay safe and stay the way you are. You know, you're a highly respected and well-beloved pilot within our company. And yeah, like once again, thank you very much for your time and I wish you all the best. Yeah.
Hope to see you soon, Stefan. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, a very grounded, honest, and motivating aviation conversation. Many thanks again to Captain Josefine Schumann for joining us. And thank you, Stefan, for the really, really great interview. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's always nice to talk to her. As you can probably tell, we are friends. We fly together, unfortunately not very often. And I have a lot of respect for her as both a person and a captain. So it was really nice to have her on the podcast.
And I mean, personally for me also, one of the nicest messages from this episode for a lot of listeners, I guess, there is no single timeline for entering aviation. I think this is, yeah. Also, Josefine's career path is certainly outside of any norm. And yeah, it's oftentimes that way in your industry, Stefan.
It is, yes. You said this once, right? If you sit in a cockpit and you look to the person next to you, every single one of these people has a story to tell because the journey into the cockpit is never straightforward. Very rarely is straightforward. And usually when you ask them, so tell me, how did you get into flying? You open a whole Pandora box sometimes.
As I remember, this was the vision that led to our podcast. Remember our conversation in summer 20 or early summer 2025, where I was, you know, we will never run out of guests. And I hope this stays, I'm knocking on wood here.
Yeah, I agree. Usually people in aviation, I mean, not just in aviation, but I found that I've been in aviation for such a long time. Almost every single person I've met has an interesting story to tell. It just keeps it interesting. And I love talking to people from the industry.
By the way, my personal LinkedIn profile, it's Jürgen Reis. It's like my name. There's also a direct link below the teaser. So below the teaser, there's a direct link to my LinkedIn profile as well to Stefan's Discord server, which is also, there is a special subcategory for the podcast. And I mean, both opportunities to write in if you want to be interviewed or if you have a guest for us, maybe some of your friends or somebody from your network, you say, hey, you have to interview them. No work for you whatsoever. Just reach out for us and we are, Stefan, as also our ongoing LinkedIn conversations here with our guests. I mean, it's really, we are pretty approachable and straightforward. So an interview with us is really easy, or with one of us is easy going.
Yeah, exactly. We always want to hear from people. We always want to talk to people. So like Jürgen said, if you want to get in touch or even if you know someone you think would be an interesting guest, just let us know and we'll see if we can make it happen.
And speaking of LinkedIn, there is every Tuesday normally the LinkedIn version of our teaser. This time with a nice photo we already received of Josefine. And each Thursday afternoon, I share normally a condensed insight from my mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals, as I name it. I mean, I coach pilots in mental performance, and there's a little takeaway, little freebie from my side, also with a nice picture. This is every Thursday afternoon. So there is something going on LinkedIn, not just a possibility to contact us. But another possibility to discuss and to leave a comment, very welcome, is certainly the YouTube channel Aviation Quest, Aviation-Quest podcast. Now I got it. I already mentioned in the intro.
Exactly, yes. And like Jürgen said, we are happy to talk to people. We want to talk to people. There's only so much we want people, you know, to have to listen to just the two of us before we really want to have someone else on board. And like Jürgen said, if you are interested in any kind of mental coaching, we've had a whole episode about Jürgen. You know, he's the man to speak to, super experienced, super competent. So yeah, get in touch.
Stefan once said to me, you should be a YouTuber, Jürgen. And I said, no, I don't think that I'm a YouTuber. But if I were a YouTuber, I think I now had to say, please subscribe, like us, follow us, leave us a review or a comment. So I'm not a YouTuber. I don't say this.
Yes.
But you can do. If you think this is a good thing, yes, you make us happy. So if you want to just make us happy, I'm not a YouTuber. I don't say things like this. But if you want to make us happy, you can do.
Exactly. Okay. Well, Jürgen, well, like I said, nice interview. Once again, a big, big thank you to Josefine for taking her time out between two flights to quickly talk to us. And yeah, thanks to you, Jürgen, for organizing everything. You were the technical wizard in the background. And thank you to everyone, if you're still listening, for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage, aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.